Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. I just wanted to say hi. My name is Delee Jordan. I'm the children's pastor. I'm not preaching today. Our preacher is Matt Wolfington today, but he led Sunday school at Southwest, so he's on his way over here. So you get to see me until then.
Glad that y'all are here this morning, and if you're a guest with us today, I am not Andy Hurst. I'm one of the other pastors. I'm Matt, and Andy and I swapped this weekend. He's out at the Southwest, and I'm here this morning. And if you're a guest, or if you're a regular and you're wondering where everybody is, it is Encounter Weekend, where all the youth, student ministries, they get together, not just around town, but around the community and around the region. From out of town they came, so we swap every other year where they land on Sunday, and so they're all out at Southwest this morning. They're overflowing to the brim in there this morning, and so if you walked in, you go, there's no kids here. Well, there are. They're just at a different spot today. And take heart in that, and we're glad for that, though. Today, talking about Jesus in the wild still, and I know Andy has been, we've both been talking about this for 3 or 4 weeks at this point. And with that, I want to talk to you today about facing down the if in our lives. Andy alluded to it last week, talking about how we start this process as we obey God's word. We interact with the Lord, and we take his teaching and we apply that to our lives in every situation when the ifs do come, because it's not a matter of are they going to come. They will. There are going to be times where you have questions in your life and where you wonder why things have happened. And when we hear this, I want you to know that the way Jesus responded, and I know we'll always say, well, it was Jesus. Well, no, I mean, it is the example for us. Jesus always responded to the ifs, the doubts, the questions with God's word, always with God's teaching, always with the Spirit of God and how he responded. And why it matters to us is because the way our life is lived in Christ really is the same as the way Christ lived his life. So we have this idea this event where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and when he came up out of the water, he was recognized by God with an audible voice from God, with the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus, where it said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Right? And so think about your salvation moment, whatever that moment was in your life, however that happened, whether it was maybe you're at vacation Bible school, maybe at church camp, maybe with your grandparents, maybe in your own home, maybe with your family, friends, maybe alone by yourself in your car. I don't know how you came to Christ when you finally made that decision, but just think about that joyful moment, just like at Jesus' baptism. But then, as soon as Jesus was baptized, the first place that he went after that, right, the next chapter of his own life was in the desert, where he was tested and where he was tempted for 40 days. And he and Satan had this back and forth about life and about the kingdom and about salvation and about God. But then after that, this is where Jesus begins his public ministry. This is where he goes into the synagogue and where he starts reading from the scroll, and he opens up to a very particular place where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Right? You've heard this. He goes, "Because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery to the sight to the blind, to free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then he says, "And today the scripture has been fulfilled within your hearing." So you have this wonderful Jesus, God, Holy Spirit moment. You have this 40 days of testing and temptation. And then we go into this proclamation of who Jesus is and what's going to happen for all of eternity. Us. You have this salvation moment, And before you get to experience eternity, right, this proclamation, this fulfilling of the prophecy in your own life, you go through this testing and trial time. And I think probably many of us would sign up for 40 days. Amen? Yeah, 40 days would be great. I don't know about anybody else, but going on 53 years of age, I've had more than 40 days of trials and temptations. And we all go through that. And so I think it's important we hear this once again from a different perspective when we think about the ifs in our life. This is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. You've heard it 3 weeks now. This is the fourth week. This is the story of Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus out in the wild. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, baptized, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And then Satan led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whoever I want. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours." And Jesus replied, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then Satan took him into Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give angels orders concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been stated, you shall not put your Lord to the God to the test." All these are temptations. All these were testing. Okay? I mean, if you hadn't eaten for 40 days, a piece of white rainbow bread might look pretty good, right? Yeah. I mean, how does, though, the tempter speak to you? How does the devil, how does Satan put those little ifs in your own mind? How does the accuser put doubts in your mind about your life, about your faith? How does the one who prowls around like a roaring lion wanting to seek, kill, and destroy, how does he try to do that with your marriage? How does he try to do that with your parenting? How does he try to do that in your relationships, your finances, your school, your studies, your retirement, your faith, everything? How does he speak to you? How about this? What is the last if you heard in your life? Maybe it was, if you were loved by God, you really wouldn't have all of these problems. Maybe it was, if you were really close with God, then you wouldn't have gotten fired. Maybe if you were had been better at life, then maybe you wouldn't be having all these problems. Maybe if you were more of a man, maybe if you were a better mom, maybe if you were prettier, maybe if you were smarter, maybe if you were stronger, maybe if you had more money, maybe if you'd have been more faithful, maybe if you hadn't been such a jerk, maybe if you hadn't, whatever it is, all these ifs. And sometimes it's one of those ifs, if, only if. See, all these keep going back in time and time and time again, over and over in our hearts and in our minds. If you just whatever. Or how about this one? If God really loved you, if God was really alive, if Jesus really was the Messiah, if. See, these aren't just for us. These are for all of humanity, all of mankind, all of history. These ifs have been taking place, right? And so what these are, I call these ifs, I call these mind monkeys. These are all these little thoughts that just run around in our head and try to make us doubt and try to make us question and try to make us not be who God's called us to be, because ifs really do cause us a great deal of anxiety. They cause us a great deal of stress. They cause us to have physical reactions and sickness and depression and all sorts of different things. It might be dramatic weight loss and it might be dramatic weight gain. Anybody an emotional eater? leader in here like I am? Hallelujah. Yep. Andy Hurst one day came in and he said his stomach really hurt. And I said, "Are you okay? You think you have the stomach flu? Why are you at work?" He said, "No." He goes, this, and this happened. And I ate a whole thing of Bluebell ice cream last night before I went to bed. I said, "Is that emotional eating?" He said, "At its finest." Right? We all have something that causes us to go into this tailspin. And sometimes we have to realize, well, every time we have to realize, all Satan has the power to do is to talk. This is all he has the power to do. He has no power to change you. He has no power to steal you away from the Lord. He can't make you lose your salvation. He can't take your salvation. He can't anything. He has no power in the world whatsoever other than that those mind monkeys and that little bitty word, if. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Verse 7, therefore, if you will worship before me, right, it'll all be yours. And if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And see, we don't think that any of those apply to us, but they really do. Because it goes back to, if you really are a child of God, then you can really do whatever you want to and you'll be okay. Right? Therefore, if you will just bow down and worship mountain biking. I'm trying to think things in my life. Financial statements, stock markets, retirement, children, my wife. If you'll just bow down and worship these things, you won't have anything to worry about. If you'll just, if you really are a child of God, then remember, all things are beneficial. No, that's twisted scripture. All things are permissible. Not all things are beneficial. See, he tries these ifs, over and over and over again. And so, how many of you have been through CPR training, at least in the last, 20 years? And so, there's three words that when you find somebody unresponsive, anybody remember what those three words are to kind of give you a clue of what you're supposed to do? Look, listen, and feel. I think if you look at God's Word, if you look at how God speaks to us through His Holy Scriptures, this is the exact same method we should use. We should look. When the word if comes to us, the first place we should go is God's Word. Andy said last week, obedience is one of the first places how we respond to all of these things in our life. When you're in the wilderness, obedience to the Lord matters. It really matters because when we look at God's Word, it will speak back to us, but we have to listen. And that whole idea of listening as we look at what's going on in our lives, and we have to be discerning. But then when we listen to God's Word, after we've looked at it, we do have to listen back. And here's my problem, is all those ifs, Satan, he's got a really loud voice, doesn't he? I mean, all the things that are going on around me, all the chaos, the latest news cycle, the latest people that are sick, the latest crisis in the world, the latest crisis with friends and health and family, all those things are really loud, super loud. And what do we know about God? Scripture even says there's a God's still and small voice, right? And so the loud things, sometimes we have to get really close to the Lord. We have to get really close to Him to be able to, not that He's not trying to talk to us, but He doesn't need to shout. I mean, He controls the wind and the waves, right? He's the one where weather still listens to Him, where demons flee and where sickness is healed and cast out. He just needs to speak a word. But when everything's loud, I've got to get close to Him sometimes to really be able to hear Him. Are any of you the people that can be in a restaurant and there's just that very faint music playing in the background, but everybody's talking and you can barely hear it, but you're the person that can pick out what song's being played? You're the human version of Shazam. Anybody in here? Yeah, some of us can do that, right? I mean, it could be my favorite song playing and I don't hear it, right? I have to really intentionally focus, and I have to quiet some of the other things in my life. How many of you can study? I mean, just think back to school days. How many of you can really study something with the TV going or music being played or lots of people talking and all these distractions? Can anybody do that? I cannot. I need it quiet. I need to go somewhere differently. I need to get away. I need all that to be turned off. I have to focus. So however you do it, however you listen, is how you should get close to the Lord. Because when you're looking and listening, and when you have a CPR person, when you're looking at a person that's unconscious, sometimes to even be able to know that they're breathing, if they are, is to get your ear right down to their mouth. So you can either hear, or you can decide if the airway's blocked, or if you can feel that little puff hitting your face. Sometimes you got to get super, super, super close. And that's what we need in life. Is to get super close to the Lord to be able to hear these things. Because the only way Jesus could respond after 40 days of hunger was to be super close to the Lord. To be super close to God. And then to feel. Now, I want to really be careful because the whole world talks about our feelings right now. And so, if you feel differently than I do, then your way is right and my way is wrong. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about feeling the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, to know when it's the Lord and to know when it's Satan. And the only way you can do that is by a constant relationship with Him, to test the waters, not to test the Lord your God, but to test the circumstances and to say, is this where the Lord's leading me? Is this how the direction, and how should I pray, and what's going on, and how is He working in the world? That kind of feeling. If you can imagine that type of feeling, that's the one I want you to think of. Not are you feeling it right in this very moment. Because let me tell you, you're not always going to feel the Lord. You're not always going to feel good about what's going on in your life and about how God's working around you. Sometimes it's hard days. Sometimes they are difficult. Sometimes they're really, really tough. And so I know that you think pastors are always feeling it. And we're always so glad to be here on Sunday morning, and this is the most exciting part of our week. Let me just tell you that that's a lie for Andy Hurst. It's not for me, but for Andy, no. We don't always feel it. Andy Cower doesn't always feel it. The choir doesn't always feel it. Your Sunday school doesn't always feel it. Your mom and dad don't always feel it. Your children don't always feel it. But this is why we have the body of Christ. So when I'm not feeling it, Scott can help me. And when Scott's not feeling it, Karen Carruth can help him. And when Karen's not feeling it, Delee can help. This is why we have the body of Christ. This is why we live in community and not in isolation. This is why we have the body of Christ. Because God, when it talks about those ifs, Satan uses them to tear us down, but God uses if to build us up. Each and every time. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Matthew 7:11, if you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The NASB says it just a little differently. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, there is, God uses ifs in a positive way. He wants to build us up, not the whispering, tear us down ifs, but the whispering and powerful build us up ifs. The ones that show us who God is. If those who are called by my name. And I know so many times you think you just need to be still and wait for the Lord to move. And that's true. But we have misused that passage of scripture, probably most misused scripture in all of history, right? What's the first one? Anybody want to guess what the first most misused scripture is? Wives, submit to your husbands. You laugh. But it is. Every time there's any kind of quarrel, if anybody knows anything about the Lord and Scripture and they want to come to marriage counseling, the one thing we always talk about first is that passage of Scripture. And people think there's a period. No, let me rephrase that. The men think there's a period after wives submit to your husbands. They forget the rest of the passage of Scripture that says how men are supposed to live, which is way more profound, and I'm not even going to get into it. But the second most misused is be still and know that I am God. What we all think, or so many people think, is be still just means sit there and wait for God to do everything. No, let me just tell you, if you want to be still and wait on the Lord while you're sitting on the train tracks, when you get to heaven after the train has hit you, the Lord is going to go, what were you doing? He goes, well, I was waiting on you. He goes, well, I was waiting on you to get off the train tracks. Right? You have a brain. What all that scripture means is be still. Let God do his part. You stop doing God's part. You just do what you're required to do. What are you required to do? What is the Lord asking of you? Don't be like me. Here's what happens to Matt is I try to do my part, God's part, Robin's part, your part, the church's part, Andy's part, the staff's part, my friend's part. And then I'm tired and go, why am I so tired? And why is this not working? And I went, oh, I forgot to pray. Or, oh, I forgot to consult Scripture. Oh, I forgot I was listening to all the ifs. And I didn't do my part. Because Satan will try to tear you down. If, in Satan's heart, if is a challenge to your identity. Now listen to me. It's a challenge to your identity. It's a challenge to your love that God has put inside of you. And it's a challenge to your purpose. Right? Your identity, your love, and your purpose. If only confuses what God has told you. And the worst thing that happens is we turn ifs against people. We turn somebody's if into a should against themselves. Now, I gave this a great declaration in the 8:30 service. These are all my disclaimers. And so listen carefully as I say this so I don't get in too much trouble, even though this is going to offend somebody. But are you ready? How many of you, right? How many of you have been should on? Somebody got it over here. Right? How many of you have should on somebody else? Well, you should have. You should have been a better person. You should have been the bigger person. You should have been more Christian. You should have been more Christ-like. You should have been a better husband. You should have been a better parent. Anybody heard that? All those people are in jail right now because they all beat somebody up. You should have been, right? You should have, you should have, you should have. Am I the only one that had these parents? I feel like it right now because nobody's agreeing and amening. Right? You wouldn't be in this spot if you would have, could have, should have. See, I mean, that's just, let me just tell you, if you start believing those, that is the lie from the devil. Now, maybe there were consequences. Maybe you should have made better decisions, right? But here's why you didn't is because you believe the ifs and the lies of Satan. I've done it. You've done it. Our children have done it. Our parents have done it. We've all done it. We are shoulded into submission. We are ifed and then into submission because we start believing the lies. Listen to what Dan Wilt says. One of our seedbed and our authors that you hear each and every week if you have signed up for the daily readings. Every day we hear some version of that word, if, right? Every day we hear some version of that word dancing in our heads, putting a question mark between us and our blessings as the beloved of God. Often to get us inwardly deciding once again if God is good, if we are precious, if we matter, and if we will ever find joy in this life. That one little word, I hate that word. And I know people say, don't use the word hate. No, I hate that word because it does. It destroys confidence in the Lord. It destroys what God has put inside of us because we start questioning everything about who we are. But let me tell you what, that little word, if, even though when I hear it come out of Satan's mouth, I hate it. When it comes out of God's mouth, I know it's required. Because for the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Then we must have the if in our life. Because if I will go to Scripture more, if I will pray earnestly, if I will be in fellowship and community with other people, if I will search for the Lord, if I will see where He's moving and working, if I will do what He's calling me to do, then the world will change. My life will change, your life will change, all of our lives will change. And Satan will go screaming and fleeing into the night because the gates of hell shall not prevail at the name of Jesus Christ if we will just proclaim it. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Mark 9, 21 through 23, I'm going to end with this. I'm going to summarize where a man brings his child that's having a seizure, that has been having seizures, a lifelong seizures, to Jesus. Jesus said, how long has this boy been like this? And the dad says, he's been like this since childhood. And then the dad responds to him. He said, but if you can do anything. I love this. He said, but it's really my favorite passage of Scripture in all of the Bible. There are so many, but I like this one because this guy says, but if you can do anything, Jesus, just take pity on us. Right? And then Jesus turns around. And I know in Scripture, here's what we all do. You see Jesus with his hands together and he has this beautiful face and long flowing hair. And he's got this little pleasant smile on his face. And he goes, if I can do anything, right? And then he heals the boy. I think it's a little different. I think that when the dad says, if you can do anything, Jesus is like, I mean, I think there's got to be an interjection right there where Jesus comes in and Jesus is like, oh my gosh, if I can do anything, if I can do, he goes, do you not even understand? I want to give you everything. Not just anything, not just one thing. I want to give you the whole kingdom, but all you can do is listen to the ifs in your life. Because that's what we say, God, well, I know I've done this and I've not been in a good place and I haven't done what I'm supposed to do and I don't always pray and I don't always give and I haven't ever talked to anyone about you. But if you will just answer this prayer, I'll be a good boy from now on. Anybody said that? Man, I could take my shirt off and show you where it's tattooed on my body. I've said it so many times. Yeah. And Jesus said, if you can, he said, all things are possible. To who? Those who believe. That's it. And how much belief do you have to have? Scripture answers that. You just have to have faith the size of a mustard seed. I can't even make my finger small enough to be able to encompass a mustard seed. Just the faith the size of a mustard seed, because without faith, Scripture says, we can't please God. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for faith and belief, and that's it. That's all he's looking for. And immediately, the boy's father cried out. He says, I do believe, but he says, help my unbelief. It's okay to have those doubts. It's okay to ask God. It's okay. And let me tell you, we all do this. This last week, many of you know Carrie Jew and Charlie. Carrie's our director of preschool, and her daughter had a diabetic seizure, and some things happened, and then they found out she had blood clots in her brain, and they had to put her on a ventilator. One doctor says, you need to call the family, get everybody here. Another doctor says, the medicine might work. We just don't know. You know, all the things that all the doctors say. And so as soon as I heard about it, I just got in the car and I drove to Waco. I told Carrie, I said, if you'll just let me come, I said, I just want to walk in, I just want to pray with her, and I just want to leave. I said, that's it. I'm not going to be there for you to have to put on a nice face and talk to me. I'm just coming to pray. And so I did. I drove. I was there maybe 15, 20 minutes, walked in. We prayed. But let me just tell you, when you see a 22-year-old senior in college or have just about to graduate, maybe she has graduated, but she's 22, and she's laying there, and then all of a sudden you project your daughter into that bed, and when you project your family member into that bed and you see that going on, it really was probably one of the most, I don't know, just a hard moment in life for me. And for me, it really was as I prayed and laid hands on her. And as we gathered around in that room, and many people have and still praying, it was, Lord, I believe, I know who you are, but this, Lord, you got to help my unbelief. You have to help my doubt. You have to work through me. You have to set me aside. You have to fill me fuller than I think I've ever been, because only you can overcome my doubts. Only you can overcome my fears. And then last night, I didn't tell the 8:30 service this. By the way, Rebecca, that's Carrie's daughter, they've taken her off the ventilator. She's responding. She's moving around. She's doing all sorts of, yeah. She's got a long way to go, but healing is happening. But let me tell you where the unbelief happens, is last night as we're laying in bed, the phone rings at 2:00 in the morning about Encounter. Some kids staying out at the Southwest, and they couldn't get a hold of somebody, and it was a medical thing. But when that phone rang, I'm about to cry. When that phone rang, boy, a mom and dad in my house about came unglued. Just thinking, because nobody ever calls at 2 in the morning, right? So when that phone rang, it was, oh Lord, please no, please no. It was the ifs. It was the ifs. See, it happens to all of us. And it happens fast, and it happens quick, and it can be overwhelming. But here's the thing. If we will just dream the dreams that God gives us, if we will just be who He's called us to be, then here's the promise. It's the promise that overcomes the lies of the enemy. It's the promise that overcomes the doubts. It's the promise that overcomes all the little yakety-yaks in your mind. If those who are called by name will just turn their face towards the Lord and repent, right? He will always be there. Always be there. Interrupt that demon and say, Jesus has got this. He's got me. He's got everybody. Let's just follow that. Lord God, I know there are ifs in this room. So many of them. Lord, I know that sometimes they are loud and sometimes they are super scary. Sometimes they seem to be the reality of our lives. But Lord, they're not true. Lord, you are greater. You are stronger. Even Scripture says you are greater than he who is in the world. So Lord, let us quiet the ifs. When Satan says, if, we just stop him and say, God, he has this. When Satan says, if God loves you, we just stop him and say, then God loves me. When we hear those ifs, let us turn to you. Let us hear your voice. Let us see your direction. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with our song of invitation, Same God? If you'd like to come down and take communion, I'd be glad to offer that to you in the name of the Lord. If you just want to come down and pray about some of those ifs in your life or somebody else's ifs, come down. Just spend some time at the altar. So as you leave today, before I give you your parting blessing and your marching orders, here are part of them. These are laying out in the narthex right there. These are door hangers inviting people to Easter. So if you just wanted to, I'm not asking you to take 20 of them. I think they're in stacks of 10. I'm not even asking you to take 10 of them. If you would take 2 of them, And after that is a bonus. But if you just take two of them, put on your neighbor's doors to your right and to your left, that would be a great start. And if you want to take more, that's great. But also these little business-sized cards with the same invitation. If you're going out to eat this week or over the next 2 weeks, take those, leave them on your table, put them on somebody's car windshield at your office. I don't know what you're going to do with them, but don't use them to pick your teeth. Use them to pick up disciples. Okay? Right. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place knowing that God, that His voice, His word, His promises to you are greater than all of those ifs in your life. Remember, there's no condemnation in Christ. And if God is for us, then who? The answer is no one can be against us. Go into the world, spread that good news, to bring others into a saving relationship with Christ as you show them your joy and your strength. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Love y'all.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.